Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking round 18 waiver wire pickups and a bit of a review of round 17. And as always, to do that is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing okay, Jono. Actually, the whole dry July thing of past the hump, as we will call it, where I'm no longer jonesing for a beer. But some good news. Although I will say, I love soup in winter, guys. I don't know about you. Do you like the soup in winter?
Certainly do.
Yeah. Well, I love chicken and corn soup because there's no other soup. Right, it's legitimately the only soup there is. And I let this be known on Twitter. And Pea and Ham Soup Twitter came out guns blazing. I'm standing out there on my own. I'm on an island with the chicken and corn. The listeners, you and your pea and ham soup. I don't know. I can't win that one.
No. I'm there with the chicken and corn. Chicken and corn all the way. It's the only soup to be eaten.
That's absolutely.
Unless you got a nice, like a nice hearty beef and black pepper stew.
I don't want no.
But that's a stew, not a soup.
Well, there you go. But I've got some great news for the, maybe great news for some people. Maybe who cares for other people like the Statesman. Been working on this little baby for a while, but in a couple of weeks, I'm proud to say we'll be releasing our NFL Fantasy Primer Pod. This will be a one-off podcast. Statesman's yawning. I think he just died, his face melted, Raiders of the Lost Ark style, but everyone knows I'm a big NFL fan, and the season meshes pretty well with the AFL season, so you might be considering playing NFL fantasy this year, or maybe your league's starting one up, but it's not just going to be me talking about it, boys. I've got a special guest from the biggest fantasy football podcast in the world. I'm talking about Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright from the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. He'll be joining me to talk scoring and strategy and some of the players. So if you're an NFL fantasy fan, certainly look forward to that one.
Very nice indeed. Can't wait to listen to that one. And as always, he's back from his junket from the Gold Coast where he was looking to buy Chateau de Salty Statesman 2 in a nice warmer climate. Welcome to you, pal.
Yes, I feel like Forrest Gump this weekend, gentlemen. In the Listener League, I beat Jono again, which gives me three games clear of the competition again, which means I'll finish on top of the table at the end of the home and away season again.
But how'd you go in the Keeper League against me this week?
In the top four, that's all that matters. Are you in the finals there?
No. I'm letting the other listeners have a chance.
Sorry.
This week.
Are you in the finals in the Listener League?
No, my team's gone to crap in that one. I'm injured.
Okay, maybe
left,
you should
right,
keep to hosting rather than giving advice.
That's all right, because when we come to trades, Doherty gives me the win. It's all cool. Would have even been a percentage booster if Lions hadn't gone down either.
Well, I will say, finally, after 8 weeks after that trade, Lachie Neal has actually outscored Sam Doherty. Only by 3 points, but he's actually finally done it for things to come for the future.
We'll see, but I don't think Doherty will average 132 ever again, but I'm still happy to have him. But a lot of news and injuries coming out over the weekend. In the last game against West Coast and Frio, we saw Stephen Hill pop his shoulder out, but went straight back in. He came back on, so it didn't seem to affect him too much. Jackie Stringer has done a string, so a couple of weeks for him. He has had a history of doing them. Rory Sloane got KO'd on Saturday night in the game against Melbourne, so he's going to probably go through all the concussion test protocols and see how it goes, especially with a big game against Geelong next Friday night. Be interesting to see how he goes there. I didn't actually see it, but Jackie Lever, was it a hamstring or a bit of tightness? I didn't see that one. Do you know anything about that, Steve?
Oh, apparently it was just icing up on the bench. Just icing. Maybe there's some tightness, but didn't sound
cramps up in Darwin. Just the heat. Who knows? But Stephen May also gone with a hammy as well. Not good for him. Jared Lyons, as we spoke about, done his ankle. They're saying a couple of weeks, maybe the season. Again, having scans. Probably the biggest two. Paddy Ryder went off with that ankle injury. He's been in All-Australian form, and if we don't see him for the rest of the year, it's really going to hurt Port Adelaide's chances going to the finals, because Trengove or, dare we say it, Matty Loeb ain't going to do much.
No.
And Danger had a foot injury, but some news coming out on Sunday that Kane Corns reckons he's just hamming up the injury a little bit, and just he's a bit precious and carries on when he's got a bit of an injury. So to wait and see if Danger plays on Friday night against the Crows. Harley Bunnell actually got through a game of football on the weekend. Not sure on his game time, but he had 11 possessions, kicked a goal, laid a couple of tackles as well. So good for Harley Bunnell to come back. If you've had him stashed on the bench, could have a finals campaign in your fantasy leagues to get through. And Dusty reported on the weekend, I don't think there was anything in it. Just looked like a bit of a jumper punch that slipped. So a $1,500 fine there, hopefully, because my team can't take any more suspensions or injuries. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, or check us out on Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. And we are talking waiver wire pickups for round 18. And when we do, we use Ultimate Footy's 65% rule. Just gives everyone a bit of a chance to grab all these players. And to kick us off this week is Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Jonah. I think there's actually some good waivers this week. Seen some injuries happen, which opens doors for other players to perform well. And I think this is the first time in a long time I can say I've got a player from every position worth wavering for. Quite unbelievable. Kicking things off, defender, we said it last week, Aaron Mullett, only owning 45% of leagues. 90 in Dream Team this week, a ton in Supercoach. That's 2 weeks in a row he's gone big. No Jamie McMillan this year. He is, and I like him because he's a defender. The ball's flying down to North Melbourne's back line, ad bloody nauseam. And he's pretty loose, let's be honest. Pretty loose.
Certainly
champion.
Is.
I've got a midfielder for you, Ryan Bastanac, only owning 64% of leagues. The midfield, the big midfield guys for Brisbane, two of them are playing with busted arms. Can hardly tackle, and Dane Zorko apparently is just going to be a new tag target. So I think Ryan Bastanac's put together some handy weeks. If not, he's at least good bench cover. Another midfielder, Michael Riscatelli, only owning 45% of leagues. We saw him come back for the Gold Coast. We know Jared Lyons is out. Often the second game is tough to back up, but I certainly think Riscatelli's worth stashing on your bench if you need some midfield cover. He's a proven record of scoring pretty well. And, yeah, I just think he's a good pickup, man.
Gold Coast certainly need him.
Absolutely. Although it's kind of weird. They need someone with wheels, man. They've got a lot of these plotter types, don't they? Which is why I found it strange that it was a Buccaneer saying that some other plotter should go there as well. Like, that's not what they need. Anyway. Defender, your boy, Jono. There's only one boy when I'm thinking of you. That is Nick Vlosten.
Hang on, let me just get my vomit bucket. Jesus.
Yeah, look, Nick Vlosten, I think he's a reasonable pickup. He's only in 16% of teams. They're playing the GWS this week, who, if you know anything about GWS, we like to stream defenders against them because their forward pressure doesn't exist. Hooley's still out. I think Nick Vlosten's a pretty handy pickup. He can use the ball. Another defender, Shane Savage, only owned in 62% of teams. With Jimmy Webster out of this team, he has quietly come in and just banged out a couple of massive scores, had 31 disposals at 90% on the weekend. Jimmy Webster is available. He's only in 42% of teams, but I find it hard to believe that they'd push Savage out in this kind of form. So I certainly think he's worth a pickup. Maybe Webster is as well, because he was going well for us early in the piece. Ruckman for you. Sam Naismith for Sydney, going up against the mighty ruck division of the Western Bulldogs, who love giving up points, only in 46% of teams. Certainly think he's worth a go this week if you need a ruck. We've got a forward midfielder, Bailey Dale, only in 24% of teams. He's starting to put it together. They've got the Suns this week. I think that's a pretty winnable matchup. So Bailey Dale is someone I like watching him play. He's put together some 70s lately over the last 5 or 6 weeks. Had a nice ton today, so he's certainly available. And here's a guy I wouldn't waiver for, but I might consider picking him up if I was in dire straits for a forward, and that is James Stewart for Essendon. Kicked the lovely 0 goals 4 on the weekend, but at 8% ownership, playing North Melbourne, I think Essendon might have a field day in a track meet style game under the lid of the dome. So James Stewart, boys, that's all I got for the waivers.
Yeah, you've taken about 90% of my waivers there, so it looks like we're on the same page. Statesman, who have you got there for your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, I've got four others to add on to that list. Riley Knight, a forward for Adelaide. He was talked pretty highly at the pre-season. It's taken a bit of time to establish a position in the team. Only owned by 29%. He's averaging 81 over the past 3 weeks, and he could actually get a bit more midfield time, especially if Sloan might be out next week. So Riley Knight for forward line. In the defence, Daniel Howe for Hawthorn, averaging 85 over the past 5 weeks and liking his new role. He's only owned by 64%, so he should be available for the majority of leagues. Rhys Matheson in the midfield, owned by 59%. We've talked about him a couple of times, averaging 80 over his past 5 weeks, and I think a few of those midfielders look a bit lame, so I think he's actually going to get a fair bit of midfield time. And just one, because we should raise this fine young gentleman more often, and that's the Sharon Goat himself, Collingwood defender, only owned by 30%. He seems to be settled in the team, gents. I know we sort of take the mickey out of him a little bit, but he's got great numbers in the VFL. He's starting to feel comfortable at that level, and his past 2 weeks have been 71 and 82. So I think he's there with a situation that Collingwood are in now to develop his game. So therefore, I think he, unless he gets another injury, should be named week in, week out and pump out some good scores for you now. So he'll be worth a waiver, especially in a keeper.
My problem with Schoenberg, and like, you know, I'm the biggest fan of anyone, but is he wasn't even in the team 2 weeks ago. He's only a late in. Like, I don't, and he played well the week before and was dropped. I don't understand what, my trust is low in it, I'll put it that way.
No, I can understand that, but I think they've got to bite the bullet now and say there's still a level that they need to win games, and obviously Nathan will want to get that win-loss record looking as good as possible by the end of the season. But part of your role is to leave the ship better than what you took it over, and the only way you can do that is develop the talent, and he certainly is a talent, so he should spend the time, and he looks like he's comfortable now.
Yeah, no, they've got some quality defenders there in that back line, especially when they've pushed Reid forward. Moving on to my waiver wire pickups, just the only one for me was Anthony Miles came in for his game against the Lions on the weekend. Scored you pretty nicely in Dream Team, got you a super coach ton as well, only in 40% of teams. So, and that was with Deion Preston in the team as well, so scored quite nicely. So good to see Anthony Miles back there with some impressive VFL form. One to watch in the reserves, hasn't really converted it to AFL form, but that's Matty Tabner playing for Peel Thunder. In the last 2 weeks, he's had 52 possessions, kicked 11 goals and taken 23 marks in the resi. So some pretty impressive form from Matty Tabner, and hopefully they're playing the Hawks in round 18. So we know what Hawthorn's been like, but they have improved, but one to keep an eye on for is there's Matty Tabner. That's it for me, but if you are liking the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Leave us a review. It helps our brand to get us out there, and hit the subscribe button. That way you get the shows each and every week without having to look for them, and you can listen to us 365 days a year, because we do not stop, unlike some other podcasts. But we are talking a bit of a review of the round 17 of what happened, and starting off was Friday night with the Saints taking on the Bombers. The Saints were talked up into premiership contenders from the last win over the Tigers the week before, but fell short by a big margin on the weekend. Jack Stephen kicked it off. He was pretty good yet again. Got to the Tunning Dream Team, just missing out in Supercoach, as we mentioned there in the waiver wire pickups. Shane Savage took the 8 marks, got to the 125 Supercoach, 106 Dream Team, enjoying Jimmy Webster being out of that team. Dylan Robinson, he's been pretty handy down back for the whole year, got you tons in both formats again. Jackie Nunes as well, it's been fantastic, got you the Supercoach ton, just missing out on the Dream Team. And one we don't really talk about is Jake Carlisle, just got you the 98 in both formats and taking 11 marks going down back, and had a mark of the year taken on top of his head as well. And that's it for the Saners.
And for Essendon, the wonderful Zach Merritt was just outstanding again. You can find the pill, that boy. 144 in fantasy scoring. That's quite remarkable. James Kelly's actually back in form, sweeping through the defence. 138. It was a remarkable effort by him. Certainly, I thought his season and possibly career was over only about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but he's got back into the team and in great form. Zaka keeps up his up-and-down year. He's either tonning you up or he's giving you a score in the 60s. This week, it was the ton, 120 by the boy. Hurley, no doubt one of the best defenders at the moment, averaging in the mid-90s, which is quite remarkable, gentlemen, 113 by him. Tommy Bell, 107 in fantasy scoring, was a great performance. Not so great was Tom Hickey, his opposition. It looked like he'd been missing for about 6 weeks and thought he was going rocking up to the ground to play a bit of VFL, but unfortunately his opponents were AFL level. Brendan Goddard kept his head together and didn't get too upset during the game and scored a ton. Joey Danaher continued his good form as we tipped at the beginning of the year that he was going to score quite well. He's just below 90 average. So Joey Danaher is certainly scoring well for the forwards. Those that would have drafted him late will be very happy. A bit of surprise, Gleeson scored 97 and looking pretty good. His average is only 60. So he's one you should look at his form. If that continues, pick him up. He will be available on your waiver wires. And Dyson Heppel continues his, I would say, disappointing year, gentlemen, averaging in the 90s. I think everyone was expecting him to come back and average between the 105 and 110. So people would have spent pretty big on Dyson Heppel at the beginning of the year and would have been quite disappointed.
Well, I'm pretty happy with Dyson because he's going to earn me a Palmer. I bet against him.
Against only once. How did he go on the weekend?
No, he got like 120.
Well, that's all right then. But
can I ask on Seb Ross, Jono?
Yep.
What the hell? Where was he?
I looked for him on Friday night. He was just non-existent. So I don't know what the hell happened there with him. Like week before, he was in everything. This week, just out of the game completely.
He's had a couple of games this year like that. I think his first game of the year just pumped out a score of 48 or 49, something like that. This week it was 71 in Dream Team and 64 in Supercoach. It just all depends what happens with the rotations. One thing I did notice, he just didn't spend a lot of time in that midfield, and I think it just depends on matchups and roles for any given night.
Yeah, and I think a bit of inexperience as well. He's still a young fella, so I think he'll be fine in the future and will be a fantasy beast.
Would you draft him with Jack Stephen next year?
Yes, I would. Quite easily.
Fair enough.
But the early game, it was Hodgie's 300th. It was the Cats taking on the Hawks. And whenever these two teams play, it seems to be some sort of classic with old mate Isaac Smith yet again choking in the final seconds to ice the game for the Hawks. But it was all about Paddy Dangerfield. One leg, kicking 5 goals, 6 behinds, 140 in both formats. Fantastic yet again. This bloke can do anything and play anywhere. Lucky Henderson was fantastic as well. Got you some pretty nice tons in both formats, taking 10 marks as that loose man in defence there. Mitch Duncan having a fantastic year fantasy-wise. Got you the ton in Supercoach and Jessica to the 99 in Dream Team as well. Very underrated. Probably would have gone middle to late rounds there and returning some excellent value for you. Dan Menzel back in the team, kicking your three goals for the game with 90s in both formats. He's the Statesman's favourite with his points per minute. Beast he is. And Joel Selwood was tagged at times by Dan Hell, but got you some nice 94s in both formats there. To the Hawks, it was Tommy Mitchell, 19 disposals in the first quarter. That is absolutely ridiculous. Only had the 27 for the next three quarters with 40-odd disposals. Starting to kick a couple of goals for the Hawks as well. He returned 147, 136 Supercoach points for you. Liam Shields was fantastic, scores in the 120s for you. Jack Gunston, we spoke about him last week, seemed to have a pretty friendly role this week, getting in 98 and 102. Big Boy McAvoy got you the Supercoach ton. Sean Burgoyne, Lukey Hodge, also fantastic. And Dan Howell, as Statesman said, if you want a waiver for him, got you the Dream Team ton, only the 80 in Supercoach. But that was with 10 tackles and 80% efficiency. So what the hell are you doing there, Supercoach, with your scoring if you're only getting 78 with that sort of numbers? He had about 20 disposals as well. But the next game was Port Adelaide taking on the Kangaroos, and it was all pretty one-sided there with the Port running away pretty much in the first few minutes there.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Jono, Port's pressure was absolutely outstanding. They dominated the contest and certainly converted all their shots, as some sides have had trouble doing, including Port. But they put it together against a pretty sloppy North Melbourne, I thought. I'll be, as I've mentioned before, looking to fade North Melbourne for fantasy purposes, as in start players against them. It's just been a long season for these young gentlemen that they're trying to develop. But for Port, just a raft of players scored well, all the studs. Wingard, Ebert, he didn't have a role this week per se, other than just winning every clearance that he could. Wines, Westhoff, Hartlett, all these guys did well. A couple of guys that bobbed up that started or not started, Sam Powell-Pepper and Sam Gray. Sam Gray's quietly having a nice month, kicked the four goals. Says a little bit about Lindsay Thomas's defensive skills, I might say. But yeah, Sam Powell-Pepper's an interesting one to me. I sort of can't work out whether he's going to be one of these big bodies who never sort of continues to go on with it, or whether he develops further. So he'll be interesting to watch.
And I will say, Powell-Pepper, and this is totally off-brand, gentlemen, but I sold him in AFL Fantasy this week, and then he goes out and scores his highest score for the year, would you believe? And I sold him for someone that was 200 grand more expensive that scored lower than him.
Sounds like salary cap life. But actually, we had someone trade for Jaron Lydons in our league record this week, so swings and roundabouts.
Well, the Phantom brought in Tommy Rockliffe and put the big C on him this weekend.
Ooh, wouldn't he be thinking Tommy Rockliffe was a big C? As Jono mentioned, a little bit of concern over Paddy Ryder. The nice thing about Paddy Ryder is that he does carry the dual position forward and ruck, so you should be able to find a replacement for him if he does, in fact, miss a week or two. It didn't look too serious, so I think that'll be all right. And Robbie Gray was actually, I thought he was pretty well held by Nielsen, who might not be a fantasy performer, but certainly looks a pretty handy player for North Melbourne. On to the north side of the ball, and Ben Cunnington was absolutely massive. Somehow talked Brad Scott into getting over 80% game time, which, my God, Ben Cunnington, he never sees that. Well, he only responded with 26 contested possessions and 11 clearances, and he was just fantastic. He's having a pretty good year. Scored you the 128 and 137 Supercoach. Aaron Mullett did pretty well considering he got a pretty, looked like a nasty knock early. He was walking it off, but he still got you the 90 and 101. Andrew Swallow doing pretty well, playing for his future, you'd say. He's tackling his way to a ton on a weekly basis, and he's certainly providing you with nice bench cover or as a last last on-field spot in your midfield. Luke McDonald really is just continued to be one of the best values of the year. Really developed nicely, giving you a ton in Dream Team and 84 Supercoach for your defence. And hit the panic buttons, boys. Todd Goldstein camping his ass down at full forward. There is, if you're a Goldie owner, I'm sorry, it's over.
Sorry, Steve. The scores have just come in, and I have actually won. So fist pumps all around. And Goldie, he didn't even have a touch in the second half. I don't think. Is that right?
Mate, he was going okay in the ruck, and then they just sort of moved him out, and it there's big problems for Goldie owners, man. That's.
Yeah, I would not be wanting him.
Is he out of the team next week and they start giving game time to Bruce?
Brad Scott would seriously have to consider it, wouldn't he?
I don't know, because, you know, if Waite's out, then they need someone up there. He's a better forward. Ben Brown's playing well, but he's a better forward than Bruce and Majak. My question is, if all this talk about, let's trade Goldstein, legitimately, what are you going to get for him?
Like Josh Kelly?
A third rounder?
If you traded him last year, if you're cleaning ship, you should have cleaned ship so you could have some draft picks.
Absolutely. No, I don't think anyone's going to pay this year. You might get a late second.
GWS are the one, because they're in that premiership frame, and if Mummy goes down, they struggle.
Yeah, well, GWS are the one. Well, if I was GWS, the guy I'd be wanting is Taylor Garner, someone who can actually apply a little bit of forward pressure. So we'll see. But if you're a Goldie owner this year, panic stations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, big time. And the next game to cap us off was the twilight game between the Gold Coast Suns and the Magpies.
And Nathan Buckley thanked the fantasy gods because the fantasy gods hate Gold Coast Suns, or should I say the football gods do, because surprise, surprise, hit by injuries again. I mean, they must be the club that has suffered the most injuries out of any club over the past 3 years. Now, you would say soft tissue injuries might be linked to the way they're managing the players, so maybe they should review that. But if you actually have a look through their injuries, I don't think they've had many more soft tissue injuries than anyone else. It actually comes through collision injuries, shoulders, ankles, legs, knees. So that's where their major drama has been. Stephen May out early, major impact when you're saying probably your best defender in your team. And in a way, I had a wry smile, not that you should when any player gets injured, but as soon as Jared Lyons got injured, I just thought, well, at least Jono won't be taking the mick out of me for giving him away for nothing, which is effective.
How is Josh Smith going for you?
Yes, moving on to Sharon Goat. So we'll go through the Gold Coast players. I told people that you should not draft him. What a foolish man I was. Gary Ablett Jr., remarkable. He was just amazing. 152 fantasy and 159 super coach. Was a fantastic game. Started a bit slowly, but then just was everywhere. David Swallow actually is really starting to improve the last few weeks. So I think his second half of the season is going to show to be much better than his first half. 117 and 90. Jared Witts actually faded at the end of the game, but certainly had his measure over Brody Grundy. And certainly made the point of that, certainly in the first three quarters, that you got rid of the wrong guy. 105 and 86 was his scoring. Jack Martin, 91. Tuke Miller, 80. I just don't see where Tuke Miller is. He's got such potential to be a fantasy gun, but just doesn't do it week in, week out. Be interesting to see what your thoughts are on Tuke Miller, gentlemen.
Don't want a bar of him right now.
Keeper?
Yeah, if he keeps that forward status, for sure.
My problem.
Although I will say with Tuke Miller, they've got so many classy players, young players coming through. I just don't see where he's going to fit in when some of the older blokes move on, whether he just keeps on being a fringe player by the time that the Jake Bowers and your Ben Ainsworths actually get the tank to be in the midfield.
This is my problem with Tuk Miller, is I don't think he's a gun player. I think he's more like, look at the culture issues the Gold Coast Suns have had. You're talking about the guy who was an under-18s captain for Victoria. He's there because he's doing the right things. He's obviously a good bloke around the club, obviously has great leadership, but he's not going to be a gun fantasy asset or probably a gun player. He's probably going to be more your Jaron Geary, who does their role.
Yeah, you're probably right. Riscatelli is a good news story coming back from his knee injury, scored you a 77. Aaron Hall was disappointing with his 72, which is another interesting player of where he really fits in. Jared Lyons, of course, with a 53. And Handsome Tom, just he's on or he's not. And unfortunately, he did get great opportunities. The ball wasn't delivered that well to him, but only scored you 60 and 58.
Is that weather effective, as you reckon, as well?
Of course, and I think that was the same with Jared Witts. I think the two quarters he blew Collingwood away were both the drier quarters, if that makes sense.
Yep.
The two wetter quarters being the second and the fourth, he actually struggled a little bit, just got less marks around the ground.
Now, fair enough.
And Collingwood, and when it was dry, they were on. And when it was wet, they were not. But yeah, it was a really interesting game. They certainly could have dropped out. I kind of wish they did, so we get a better draft pick, but whatever. But, man, when it was wet, there was a man who stood up, and that was Adam Treloar, who just had fantastic hands. And for once, he saw a good Supercoach score as opposed to his dream team. He was just as clean as a whistle and did pretty well. The wet conditions certainly also suited Taylor Adams, who a bit of a contested beast, got you some nice tons. Steel Sidebottom continues his fantastic string of form, racking up big numbers. Jordan DeGoey, he sandwiched a 30 in between a couple of big tons there, certainly playing midfield time, in and around the clearances, showing a lot of potential. And I think it's hurt Scott Pendlebury, quite frankly, because his scores over the last few weeks have just been piss. But got you the 27 touches, 5 tackles. Didn't even crack 90.
Wow.
I'm scared about Pendles, man.
Possible trade target coming up, you would think?
What, Collingwood are going to trade him out?
No, in terms of fantasy.
Oh, if I was in a keeper league, I'd be trading him out now. Yeah, absolutely. Get some value, because I'm really worried about him, man. I look at these young guys coming through and... You know, we saw it. Yeah, Statesman, you spoke about it last year.
Exactly right. Just pointing that out, gentlemen.
But the shift's possible. Wells was absolutely electric at the start of the game. You can see why Colin would get him. He was just pure class. Then it got wet, and he, I think he melted
disappeared
just with the rain, washed him away like the colours on your clothes. And Ben Reid, as Jono said, was playing forward, kicked a few goals, and was actually pretty good in the wet, I thought, for a marking player. He showed a lot of class. Fasola got you a nice score as well.
Yeah, speaking of washing away in the rain, so did the 50-metre line. They had to repaint it there at halftime.
Oh, it's a very important thing. Without the 50-metre line, what would you do?
BT would just lose his mind, I'd guess. Just like he did on Friday night.
How good was BT Friday night? Who are the people who don't like BT? Do you know what fun is? Do you have fun in your life?
Well, on the last, he was been hosting Talking Footy on the Monday night with Luke Dastyway. The very last show he was hosting, last few seconds just lets out the Orazio Fantasia. great television. There's a logie right there for BT. But the other game was, moving on to the Saturday night games, we had the GWS taking on the Sydney Swans, and, man, GWS needs some players back, you would think, because they are not travelling too well.
They've got players back, but they were just wasteful. Just wasteful. Real lack of forward pressure inside 50. We love using defenders against them because of it. When you got a few bean poles and Stevie J down there, there's not going to be many tackles. I was really interested in one thing going into this match, gentlemen, and that was what they did with Zach Williams, because we saw the forwards come back. They've tried him forward. They've used him down back. And his first quarter was unbelievable. He was in everything, had about 8 touches, and he was playing forward and through the midfield. Then in the second quarter, he was playing forward and didn't touch it, and then he went into the back line, and he finished out the game pretty well. He got you, I think, 40 over the last half, but it's really interesting what they're doing with Zach Williams. I think they were content to see how things shook out with Wilson and Tomlinson and Haynes out of the half back line, but I think they need Zach Williams' poison run out of the back line. But on to the scores. Shane Mumford got you a big ton, kicked a couple goals in the last after he fell on people and got free kicks. this is the first time Mumford's kicked 2 goals in a match since 2013, so that was pretty interesting. Johnny Patton, just the legend continues to grow. He was in everything. He was probably their only target, and they certainly went to him. But he got you 87, Tram Team, 100-something Supercoach. He is a very good player.
I picked him off the waiver wire last week.
He's only in about 50%.
Yeah, we mentioned him last week as a waiver pickup, but there you go. Scully, Whitfield, Ward, Kelly, Shaw, Sheil all got you around a ton, either over it or just under it.
Hey, Shaw did.
Yeah, he ended up just under a ton. I know he had nothing in the first quarter, but he did everything after that.
Okay.
Yeah, Nathan Wilson got injured, so that was... he was just down, I think. Really interesting. Devin Smith got a nice junk time goal to move past 60. Great work, Dev. But why? I don't know. He should be playing deep. Get Stevie J out of that team. Seriously.
Yeah, for sure, because he kind of had some Stevie J brain fades. He was... flash of brilliance and then just brain farts. It's
great. Even just play Mzungu up there as a defensive forward.
True. Mzungu's been doing all right.
No, they need. It's all unravelled since they traded out the forward pressure master. Reese.
Statesman's not biting one bit there, but how'd the Swannies go there, Statesman?
Yeah, not too bad considering GWS actually are the hardest club to score against. They still had 3 players that made Dream Team tons, while 5 made Supercoach tons. Kieran Jack led the way with 112 and 104 and certainly looks over his injury concerns, had a couple of weeks break. Got himself right and has been playing very good football since. Dan Han got back into a bit of form, 112 and 105, and did quite well with contested possessions, although he did rack up a few clangers as well. Lance Franklin tonned up as well, but let's say that he was helped across the line with his ton, 101. JPK was a little bit slow off the mark, but really enforced himself in the last quarter, getting 92 and 96 respectively. Zach Jones seemed to not to be too disturbed with that knee injury the week before, got a 90 and 87. Isaac Heaney was playing great football, 89 and 100 in Supercoach. Tom Papley continues to impress, gentlemen, a ripper player, and to say he come from a 21-year-old rookie appointment, that is quite remarkable. He's a quality footballer. Jake Lloyd was a little bit quieter, 82 in fantasy and 97 in his super coach, and that just typifies the way that Western Sydney probably just don't turn over the ball as much, and I think you'll find Jake's scoring lifts up next week. Lukey Parker only 79. Jared McVeigh's an interesting one, gentlemen. 98 in Supercoach, only the 75 in fantasy. But is Jared McVeigh's role, which is now getting to that link player, actually going to take away from Nick Newman being a fantasy prospect, gentlemen?
Yep.
But it's okay because McVeigh will do some old man injury and ride off to the sunset. So all good for Nick Newman. But we know what Horse is like and just will probably drop Newman now.
Yeah, and certainly his game time was down only 71% on ground, and he played three or four different roles. It was just patch up, fill the spots where we need it in the time. I think, to be quite honest, I'd love to see him just sit back at halfback flank. I think he's a great footballer, and I think he'd be very unlucky if he gets dropped out and missed the run to the finals. Callum Mills didn't score too well. Neither did Naismith, even though some people want to spend a waiver wire on him. And that pretty much wraps up the Sydney Swans, gentlemen.
Thank you for that. Moving on to the next game, it was the Demons taking on the Crows up in Darwin. And things got a bit too hot for the D's as the Crows put them away pretty early in that game. Good personality, Tom Lynch. Good to see him back from his viral meningitis. Got you the 130 in Dream Team, 107 Supercoach, 11 marks and a few goals there. Big Texan with a bag of four goals. Got you tons in both formats. Playing some pretty good footy as of late, the Texan. Don't mind it. Wish I had got in him a little bit earlier. Rory Laird, All-Australian form yet again. Again, getting the tons in both formats. The Crouch brothers, who needs the Gun Show and Thompson, both got your tons in all formats. The Crouch brothers going head-to-head there. Old man Talia and Douglas got your super coach tons there. I suppose when you're bombing that ball inside defensive 50, you're going to be cleaning it up for Talia there. And Rory Sloane's fantasy scoring is completely dead. Have a wake. Get him out of your teams because teams will be tagging him right throughout to the end of the year, including the finals, you would think. And he's just going to be putting up 50s and 60s, you would think, unless they're playing the Western Bulldogs. And then it's...
Ton City.
Ton City, people. But on the other side of the fence, we had the D's. Jaden Hunt kicked a ripping barrel from outside 50, scored you 110 in both format. Michael Hibbard, he's been awesome this year. We didn't rate him as highly, but he scored you tons in both formats. Jordan Lewis back in the mid because someone had to without Viney and Jones there. Got you a nice couple of tons there. Jay Kennedy Harris got you the 102 in Dream Team. Probably not someone I'm out to spend a waiver wire, but maybe a late-week pickup.
Yeah, well, he had actually been tearing the VFL apart, Jay Kennedy Harris, for about a month and a half. So,
and got on the grog, suspended.
Well, the form's still good.
Oh, yeah. He's, like I said, I wouldn't be spending a waiver wire on him, but one I'd be using as a late-week pickup if the matchup was right. Neil Bullen, again, got you some nice 90 scores there. And Clayton Oliver, is he slowing down a bit, you think, in his second year? He hasn't been producing those massive tons, but still getting you some nice 90s. It might be just a bit of inexperience there. But what the hell's going on with Maxi Gawn?
I think it's a big problem, Jono. Melbourne have screwed up. They had the perfect ruck set up with big Cam Peterson. And they've gone and pissed it away for some bloke named Max Gawn. I don't even know if you've heard of him.
Never been all Australian, nothing.
And our predicted three top ruckmen, Martin, Grundy and Gawn, all struggling right now, gentlemen.
Yeah, and there was no Archie Smith in that Brisbane team either.
He wasn't that bad. It wasn't great.
Yeah, they're still not pumping out the scores you'd expect of a primo.
No, well, I think that speaks to, our late ruck strategy. And, man, I would not want to be the people selecting the All-Australian ruckman because that's a pretty...
It's easy.
Long...
Cruiser.
I think Ryder's been awesome.
Cruiser and Ryder for me. Them two have been probably the best consistently for that the whole year.
Cruiser, round 19.
Round 22 in our league of record and then dropped him after about 2 weeks because he was stinking it up, man.
And I
offered you Cruiser.
And I had three rucks. Oh, I got Grundy, man. Grundy.
Yeah, he's doing well, averaging 80 over his last three. It's good.
How am I going in that keeper league?
Don't know, mate. Haven't looked.
Moving on to the Sunday game.
You can't see that high.
Especially when you have a loss, and might just have slidden a little bit further down as well. Back into that pack there, Statesman.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway, gentlemen. No one
cares about my goddamn team. Let's go.
No, we don't.
Let's go. Tigers and Brisbane. How do the Tigers go?
Tigers? Oh, my God. Yeah, I do. I've skipped a page, Jono.
That's all right. Statesman can talk about the Lions.
Yeah, and there's nothing much to talk there, to be quite honest with you, except for Alex Witherden. He's a very good player and very skillful. He got 91 and was their second highest scorer in Supercoach with 109. Only Mick Stay actually scored higher than him. Lewis Taylor was reasonably impressive, 93 in fantasy. The midfielders, though, just weren't impressive. Beam started very slowly. He scraped through to 95. We had Tom Rockcliffe with 70, Bastnak with 81, Jared Berry with 79. So there's not a lot to write home about there. And, of course, we're just talking about the ruck. Stephen Martin finally got free of Archie Smith and up against Nick the Tank, who had been struggling, and Young and Ivan coming in. So reasonably young group that he was rucking against, and only scored the 79, gentlemen, which is certainly a real concern. A couple of their halfbacks that have been scoring pretty well just didn't get it done this week. Cutler for 69, Mays for 67 was a bit disappointing. So not too much to write home about, and they might be a little bit like North Melbourne and sort of dropping off the fantasy radar for the second half of the year.
Yeah, I'll be looking to fade Brisbane ad nauseum because their midfield can't generate any pressure. Like, these guys are clearly playing injured.
Well, yeah, and exactly right. And that's what it boils down to. Your two best inside midfielders have got crook shoulders in Beams and Rocky.
No, but it was all about Jack Riewoldt and the Tigers on Sunday, Steve.
Yeah, Jerry, I wouldn't say a great performance because it certainly could have been better, but solid. 91 Dream Team, 117 Supercoach with 4 goals, 4. Yuck. But the man was Dustin Martin with his 131 Dream Team, 111 Supercoach, 10 clangers or something like that, 11 clangers. 40 touches, though, certainly. You'd be loving life if you're a Dusty owner, having a great season.
Two trips to the tribunal this week.
Nah, just the one. He'll be fine.
Well, that's not my problem. Trent Cotchin copped a headbutt, though. That was interesting. 114 Dream Team, 123 Supercoach, and just malicious act by Nick Robinson. I think Trent Cotchin was lucky to avoid the concussion protocol, quite frankly.
And the blood rule. Jeez, could have split him right open.
Just savage. Got the Irish kiss. Dan Butler bobbed up with 3 goals. Well done to him. Some high 90 scores. Anthony Miles, as Jono said, came into the team and was sort of expecting it. Got your 93 Dream Team, 101 Supercoach was okay. Dion Prestia, spending a bit of time on Zorko. And I was listening to the telecast and they said, oh, Prestia's having one of his best games for the year. Well, that wasn't saying a bloody hell of a lot, was it? so he scored 80s. I think that's the second highest score he's had this year. Nank the Tank was, he wasn't the main ruck, but Ivan got injured at one point. So as we know, Nank does his work around the ground. Not sure about his forward chops, but he... did it anyway. Brandon Ellis got you at nice 90s. He's certainly playing well. I expect him to play a good game next week. I forget who they're playing, but I think it's a good defensive
GWS
matchup.
GWS.
Boom, there you go. That's why. And, yeah, so the usual suspects bobbed up for Richmond. And they'll be pleased to escape with a win because it was kind of a scrappy game, I thought. And they tried to play a little bit too flashy.
Yeah, and Dusty owners should not worry. I would expect it'll only be a little fine.
Yeah, for sure, especially if he's when he's in Brownlow contention.
Oh, yeah, but, the AFL aren't going to do
Nah, they've got enough troubles at AFL house at the moment than a little Dusty left hook.
And And they've already burnt. They've burnt the James Hurd card already.
Maybe they'll invite Leveland and the other fellow up to present premiership medals. Who knows?
Yeah, Dank's going to sing the anthem.
But moving on to the middle game on Sunday, it was the Doggies taking on the Blues. It wasn't the best of games to watch, but Doggies did their best, got their job done. I thought their pressure was much better this week. Carlton certainly turned the ball a lot over, but for the Doggies, Jack McRae was fantastic. Got you 124 in both formats. As Steve said, if in the waiver wire pickups, Bailey Dale got you the 99 Supercoach, 104. Dream Team was fantastic. The Bont was also very good, getting you 120 in both formats. If he's floating around in your leagues, grab him. Toby McLean, he's taking a lot of centre bounces and getting a lot of possessions at the moment. Also goes forwards, kicks some goals. 107 Dream Team, 115 Supercoach. Mitch Wallace has been pretty good since he's returned from that broken leg. Again, just a ton in Supercoach. And you had some pretty nice scores from Suckling, Biggs, Ruffy and Liver. But Luke Dalhouse, he's not attending those centre bounces like previous years and seems to be really hurting his scores, gents. Do you hold on to him or maybe float an offer out for him? What do you think?
No, hold on to him. You just can't trust what roles they're going to have week in, week out at that club. So you just hold on. He started, I think he had for the second half of the season so far, two appearances at centre bounces. For this year, he was in there about 10 times today. So his role's already changing.
Okay, there you go. Now, I was keeping an eye, but I did lose count after half time. So there you go. And the Blues, they were gallant in defeat, but it was good to see Brendan Bolton walking around, doing laps in the commentary in his box there. Whenever they turned it over, he'd be racking up some Ks there. But how did they perform?
They were sloppy. That was sloppy, I thought. If I was a fan, I'd be disappointed given their recent efforts. I had a couple injuries through the game, but it was probably one of the more disappointing performances of recent weeks for the Blues fans, I would have thought. But the big question for the fantasy owners was, who's going to fill the Patrick Cripps void? The answer was no one, because Patrick Cripps is kind of irreplaceable, guys. But look, Nick Graham tried. Okay, he had 10 contested possessions and 6 clearances, got you 97 Dream Team, 93 Supercoach in a good effort, and I would expect to continue. He's listed as a forward as well as a midfielder, so I certainly think he's going to pump you out some 85-plus scores, which are very handy at this time of year if you're looking for a forward. Carriage was another one with 30 touches, a bit wasteful, but that's how it is. Got you the 90s in both formats. Usual suspects all fired, Cruiser, Doherty, Gibbs, all solid. Did their thing. One thing I did notice, Doherty seemed to get less midfield time this week, which was kind of interesting given people sort of assumed that he had been playing a fair bit in the midfield, but maybe with the smaller Bulldogs forwards, he was sent back to use him as a matchup there, which was interesting. So it would be interesting to see how they use Doherty going forward. Certainly had a little bit lower score than he had in recent weeks. And Charlie Curnow just continues to absolutely... his absolute fine form in a losing team today. He got your 70s as a young key forward. Man, there's not much more you can ask than that. And well done to him on his Rising Star nomination. Although I was kind of hoping he got dicked again because it's just funny.
And Reece Palmer, only the 18 disposals, 4 marks and 5 tackles in the Rezzies this weekend, Steve.
Well, if his name was Jared Pickett, that'd get him a game.
Quite possible. Quite possible. But the last game of the round was the showdown between the Frio Dockers and the West Coast, where it was pretty wet in Perth today, which is unusual.
Not so unusual, as explained before, Jono. Winter is the wettest month in Perth. They have
winter's not a month.
Yes. Season. They have about 3/4 of their rain over that 3-month period, so it's not unusual for it to be raining in winter. But look, a fantastic game. It's just pity that there was a lot of turnovers and a lot of missed goals for the Frio Dockers. The pressure was remarkable, as they normally are for these types of games. But it was enjoyable to watch. It was just pity that Frio didn't put the score on the board. Same amount of scoring shots. I think the Dockers led the inside 50s. They just couldn't get the job done. And they missed so many they should have kicked. Connor Blakely was just outstanding. 149 is a remarkable score. 121 in Supercoach. He just looks the deal, that boy. Lachie Neal, thankfully, looks like he's bouncing into great form. 114, 113. About time, Lachie. Nat Fyfe, again, looks like he's really starting to come into gear as well. 109, 126, respectively. Brad Hill should have had 150 himself if he kicked straight. 0-3 he scored, the poor bugger.
And Crows got scaled down 12 Supercoach points, giving me the win in our league of record.
Well, there you go. So at least you would be the one happy about that. Hayden Crozier almost took mark of the century and went up and took a couple of spectacular marks as well. He got 89 and 70. Sean Darcy continues to perform well. Obviously, he's going to be a Jet in the longer term, so he's a must-have in a keeper. Certainly scoring well, averaging in the 80s as a first-year ruckman. He just runs out of a bit of tank. That'll build as the years go on. He's going to be an absolute Jet, that boy. Mundy, Hill was a bit quiet. We know Hill spend a bit of time off. If your name's Lachie and you play for Frio, you should have him. Lachie Weller performed solidly again as well. Michael Walters was actually tagged out of the game, still scored the 70 and the 80 for Supercoach. For the West Coast Eagles, Shannon Herdon, top score for them, 165 in Supercoach, gentlemen. Remarkable game. Contested possessions was 10 for him, and his disposal efficiency, which we should point out, was 34 disposals and 14 marks, was at 91%, gentlemen. That's why he scored so well. 137 in fantasy. He got Liam Duggan, number 14, was a great little player as well. Just cleaned up at halfback flank a fair bit, resting through the midfield as well, 124 and 129. Jack Redden got a late reprieve for Elliot Yeo and did his chances of being retained in the team. No harm with 118, 114. Gaff was superb, obviously more in Dream Team because he plays a bit more of the outside game, 114 in fantasy. Matt Prittis, I think, is on a slow decline, gentlemen, 93. If you've got him and someone, especially in a keeper, and someone's looking for a final spot and you're not, I'll be certainly using him as trade bait right now. Dom Sheed only got a good score in junk time, which included a 50-metre penalty that gave him a goal, scored 91. Luke Shuey, again, second half of the season's been quite poor compared to his first half, 87 and 64 for Supercoach. Is about all to write home. Oh, sorry, Josh Kennedy returned for 74 and 79. That's that game, gentlemen. But a little bit of brag time while we're at it. AFL Fantasy's standard stock leagues final round. All the grand finals were played this weekend. The wonderful Statesman was in four grand finals and won them all, gentlemen. And a little bit off brand, but still while we're bragging, sitting in fifth position in the real Dream Team, gentlemen, only 139 points off the lead.
So that NFL show is going to be awesome, Jono.
Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Well done, Statesman.
Has been well holding done, on to Deludio the whole year, and maybe that'll get him the points for the victory. But there has been some news from Ultimate Footy this week, gents. They had their latest DPP releases. We had Jack Crisp from Collingwood. He's added defender status. Mason Cox added ruck status. Liam Picken got you forward status. Liam Jones got defence. Tommy Mack added forward status. Matt Kennedy from GWS got you midfield status. And James Sicily got you defender status. Pretty stock standard that we thought were going to happen. Do you reckon they missed any of them out there?
Yeah, Duggan. Duggan. I picked him up a few weeks ago. He's been playing all right off half back, and I thought he could have got it. I reckon he'll get it in AFL Fantasy this week. And I actually think if he continues in this role, he'll have it next season. So if you're in a keeper league, Liam Duggan.
And Lockie Hunter spending a lot of time forward and back as well. Not really spending much time on the wing anymore.
You're just going to ride the Lockie Hunter train into the ground, aren't you?
The ground. Never again. Unless he is a forward or defender, then maybe. Maybe.
That whole team could get midfield forward.
Yeah, I'd love it if Bond got mid forward. That'd be awesome.
He should.
He spent a lot of, probably the first quarter and a half as a forward, so very interesting. But no questions this week.
Actually, we did have a question, and the person wanted to know which teams have good matchups for the fantasy finals. And West Coast. I'll say this. We speak to a lot of people in this show, and people are playing their fantasy finals right now. People in preliminary final week. People started in round 19. People started in round 21. There's fantasy finals going on all sorts of times. So I'll just start at round 19 because it's pretty stock standard, common. I guess you could say. Yeah, common. Certainly West Coast have a couple of really nice matchups in there. But if you're looking to... I'll say it. Melbourne have some good matchups and Kilda have some good matchups. I'll say this, the really common denominator, just so I don't go too long. Playing against Port Adelaide and Richmond is usually bad for your scoring, and playing against North Melbourne and Brisbane is usually pretty good. If you're struggling with who to start, who to sit, you can always ask us on the Twitter or whatever. But, you know, another thing to do is just look back over some recent scores. Like, it'll give you a good in it. Heads up.
And I think the club with the best finals run, if you go from up until round 23 being the last week, is actually Hawthorn.
Yeah, they do have a pretty good run. And also the Western Bulldogs are pretty good too, but they play Port Adelaide in round 22. So get rid of them after that.
Well, they're a hard team to start, I reckon, Western Bulldogs. You don't know who's going to do bloody what. Like, David exactly. McLean's been braining it for the last 5 weeks, but he could be in a pocket next week.
They got Brisbane and Essendon the first couple of weeks, so pretty handy matchups there.
Yeah, but they've got the hardest team to score against in round 21, so don't go heavy on your Western Bulldogs semi-final and preliminary final week, which they've got GWS and then Port Adelaide.
But the Doggies actually scored pretty well against GWS earlier in the year, so because they match up quite well, and I suppose they're playing different. They're not in the same form as they were at the start of the year, but who knows? They did match up quite well early in the year and scored quite well. So just keep an eye on it and see how you go, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, we agree.
All right.
And one more brag, gentlemen, because just came in as well. Sorry, 34th position in AFL Fantasy after the round. So in the mix in that one too.
John, I'm going to have to get you off the Skype call because Statesman's head's actually expanding to the size of my laptop monitor.
Yeah, I am just seeing just a big head on my screen too. But that wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website. TheDraftDoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals, the Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups dropping each and every week. And check out the Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there. Good luck in your matchups. And if you're playing finals, we do know there's a few people out there going into the grand finals. Good luck in your grand finals and bring home that win.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.